Let's go directly to Chris Sheridan in the East. Chris, you're on the morning drive with Eric, Jeff, and Brian. Welcome to the morning drive. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Brian. You guys have sounded surprisingly not bitter about this trade.
Well, you know, I think that, Chris, I think, let me first off preface, Chris has a tremendous NBA background. He's written 15 years for ESPN.com, and he now has his own website, SheridanHoops.com. So please, please read his stuff. It's excellent, and that's why we have him on the show today. But you're right. You know, Chris, from a standpoint, we've kind of been prepared for this really for the last year because he's given every indication that he's not going to re-sign with this extend out. So he's kind of prepared the region and Hornets fans for this very day.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be interesting to see when he comes back how do the fans treat him, because remember when LeBron came back to Cleveland, you know, everybody was drinking Haterade, and that was
right.
They were just killing him, and Chris Paul has been a really good citizen in New Orleans, and he was the main piece when they brought the team back after the 2 years in Oklahoma City, and people just generally seemed to like him, and but he really wanted out of there, and it's a little strange for me watching or listening from afar that that there's not a little more disdain toward Chris for forcing this move, and maybe the disdain is toward David Stern for vetoing that initial trade, because I still say that initial trade was a hell of a lot better for the Hornets than the one they ended up making with the Clippers, but I do find it interesting and curious that to hear you guys talking that way.
Yeah, I think this whole deal has been such an anomaly in a sense, Chris, is that we're not sure who. Well, we think David Stern's the villain. Okay, I think we've kind of adopted Stern and the league office as a villain, and kind of have a little soft spot for even the Hornets officials who were trying to make the best deal possible, and then essentially got the rug pulled from underneath them. On Thursday night, you know, when Stern nixed the trade, so I guess there's kind of we vacillate on who to throw our anger at, you know, whether it be Stern, the Hornets, and Chris Paul, or all three.
Yeah, I could see that, and I could see where you would want to make David Stern the victim, because look, they did get a nice draft pick. They got that Minnesota draft pick, and they're going to have their own pick, and the Hornets are going to be one of the worst teams in the NBA this year, so. And the Timberwolves aren't going to be very good. So you're looking at maybe two picks who are going to be in the top seven or eight of the lottery. And in the 2012 draft, it's just going to be loaded with talent. There's a lot of guys who didn't come out because they were fearful because of the lockout. So the Hornets are moving into a rebuilding stage, and maybe they'll be able to mirror what Oklahoma City did when they were moving from Seattle to Oklahoma City, and they traded all their good players, and they got in position to draft Kevin Durant, and they drafted well, you know, in other places, and they got Serge Ibaka, and they got Russell Westbrook, and that's a team that's built to last and built to be a Western Conference powerhouse for the next 5, 6, 7 years. But that's a long way down the road right now for the Hornets, and in the meantime, I'll ask you this, would the Hornets have been better off with Scola and Martin and Odom and Dragic and the Knicks' number one pick?
Oh, Chris.
Hell yeah.
They would have been
a playoff team.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and it seems like the division in these perspectives of the Hornets and then the league were definitely at the end of the spectrums here. On one side, you had the franchise. And now this is our read, okay? You know, the Hornets management will differ, Chris, but their read on it is that they do want to get this is a longer term fix, and the first deal with the Lakers and Rockets involved in the three-team deal would be more of a short term fix, higher payroll, better chances of making the playoffs initially, but this one is a better term, a better deal to help sell the franchise to a prospective owner, and that's important, I guess, in David Stern, and it should be, I guess. You know, you're trying to bring stability to this franchise in this city, in this region. So their view is that they felt this deal with the Clippers is going to give them a better chance of making this a more attractive, sellable item to an owner.
Well, I'll give them credit for this. Stu Jackson and Joel Lifton and David Stern and whoever else was negotiating that trade out of the league office, they did get Eric Gordon and they did get the Minnesota pick. And the Clippers wanted to only give up one of those two things, and they ended up giving both. And you're going to love Eric Gordon. I covered this guy at the World Championship in Istanbul in summer 2010. And Coach Mike Krzyzewski loved him. He played him ahead of Steph Curry, and he made him his knockdown shooter. He liked him more than he liked Derrick Rose, to be honest with you. Yeah. And Eric Gordon is a fantastic ball player. I don't think he's all that happy about the trade, but you guys are going to grow to love this guy. But look, the Hornets don't have a lot left around them. Maybe if they can re-sign Carl Landry, I think that's going to come to a head today, whether he goes to Portland or stays in New Orleans. That gives you a little something at the four, but the Hornets just aren't a good team, and they're not going to be a good team for 2-3 years. And David Stern did say last night he expects the team to be sold by the end of January. And David, you know, he knows who the buyers are, who are lining up, and he has a much better, much more informed opinion on that. But, gosh, whoever buys this team is going to have to endure two, three seasons of losing and try to keep that fan base, which has been a tough fan base to get to buy season tickets, you know, to keep those folks renewing. And the Hornets have gotten up toward 10,000 season tickets, but how many of those people are going to come back a year from now if the Hornets are finished at the bottom of the Western Conference, and if, with the uncertainty of which guys do they get in the lottery and how good are those guys going to be and do they fit in around the pieces that the Hornets already have.
Hey, so, Chris, let me ask you this. Help me out and just kind of give me the logjam. If Landry does sign, you get the four there, you kind of got a little bit of a logjam with your big guys, with Kamen and Emeka Okafor now. Help me out there, how you see that winding up for the Hornets, and help me more with Eric Gordon. I know he's a two. I know he's a great shooting guard, but right now they bring back Bellinelli. I guess right now Jarrett Jack would be the lone point guard right now. How do you see, I don't know if you want to paint the starting five, but how do you see the logjam with the front court and who's going to be the Hornets' point guard?
Well, Jarrett Jack's your point guard. Gordon is your shooter. Bellinelli comes off the bench. I think Trevor Ariza is your three. And then you either play Okafor and Kamen together, or if you get Carl Landry back, then you bring probably Kamen off the bench. But Kamen's on an expiring contract. And Kamen can be moved at the trade deadline for some more rebuilding pieces. That centers are very tough to get in the NBA, and there's going to be interest in Chris Kamen, no doubt. So I think the Hornets will be making another move, you know, with Kamen at the trade deadline, and then you see what they can get, and maybe they can get, you know, another pick that a first round pick that'll be a top 15, top 20 pick. If they trade him to a low-seeded playoff team. So, you know, you do have the rebuilding pieces, but in the meantime, you don't have a really good team, and you don't have much of a bench. If Landry does come back, you know, maybe that's going to be worth another 6-7 wins to you, but still, you're talking about a team that's at the bottom of the Western Conference for the next 2-3 years, and that's going to be very hard to, you know, as you were saying before I came on, in a football town, it's very hard to generate and sustain interest in a team that's going to be at the bottom of the Western Conference standings for the next 2-3 years.
Hey, Chris, how can people read your stuff?
You just go to SheridanHoops.com. It's a website that's not going to have all the clutter that you see on many of the major websites, and it's not run by a big corporation like all the big websites are, but I got a hell of a staff. I got Jan Hubbard, who covered the NBA for 20 years. He worked for David Stern for 8 years. He's worked at both Dallas newspapers. He worked at New York Newsday. I've got Mark Heisler on my staff. He spent 35 years with the Los Angeles Times. He's in the Hall of Fame. I got a guy in Barcelona. I got a guy in Beijing. I got a columnist in Tel Aviv. So I'm covering the NBA, and I'm also covering the global game. Certainly the focus is going to be on the NBA. But I've tried to build a website that's offering something that's, you know, a website that's better than in many ways than a lot of the cluttered corporate websites that are dominating NBA coverage. And I just ask your listeners to go give it a read, and if you like it, bookmark it and come read it every day.
Chris, we really appreciate you taking time and getting up with us this morning. And listen, thanks for your insights, and we will have you back if you'd like to come back. We'd love to have you back anytime. We'll try to analyze this thing as we go through the season. We appreciate, Chris, your insights, and again, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, okay?
All right, fellas. Thanks very much.
Chris Sheridan. You can read his stuff, NBA Insider, SheridanHoops.com.